Well, we have the red on today because this is Pentecost Sunday, and 10 days ago would have been the ascension of our Lord. So he was died and resurrected, 40 days, the ascension, and then 10 days, Pentecost. And that's where we are today. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you, your boundless mercy, that for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in his stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the life of your love. Hallelujah. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. They all look to you. Give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Hallelujah.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on thy great glory, O Lord God,
The Lord be with you. Thank you. Let's pray. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant in us our day by the grant to us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament is from Numbers chapter 11, starting in verse 24. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took some of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. As soon as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, so they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." And Moses and the elders returned to the camp. Let's see. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yes. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. With the heart one believes and is justified.
And with the mouth one confesses and is saved.
The second reading is actually from the book of Acts rather than an epistle. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there was from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. At this sound the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in their own language. Now, let me just give you a little picture here. If you've ever seen a picture of the UN, all these people sitting out there from all these different nations, and one guy at the podium is saying something, and everybody with their earphones on, they can hear it in their own language. Got it? That's what happened here. One disciple is speaking, but all these other nations says they were hearing them speak in their own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these men speaking Galilean? How is it that we each hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes, and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We heard them telling us in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocked. They're filled with new wine." Now, why'd they mock? Because in their unbelief, they couldn't hear the mighty deeds of God proclaimed. But those people of faith did. So some thought, they're just babbling. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, "Let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel: 'In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, vapor, and smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before that the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "Is anyone thirsty? Let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let's confess our faith in words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
O'Reilly and O'Malley were standing there scratching their heads, looking up at this flagpole. And a blonde walks by and she said, "What y'all doing?" "Well, we're trying to figure a way to measure the height of this thing." And so she says, sets her briefcase down, opens up, got out a spanner wrench, and unloosened the bolts, laid the flagpole down, took her tape measure, and she said, "It's 18 and a half feet." Put her tools away and walked off. And O'Reilly says, "Isn't that just like a blonde? We asked for the height, and she gave us the length." That has absolutely nothing to do with the message today. I just want you to realize that you can set aside whatever you brought here with you, whatever struggles you have, and we can come here and get together in God's Word. Sometimes, though, we need to explain things. This man went to a seminar. He said, somebody told him, says, you need to treat your wife like you did on the first date. He says, "Oh, okay. We'll go out to a nice supper tonight, and I'll drop her by her parents' house after it's over." He didn't quite get the point, did he? And I was thinking about that this last week, because there's two guys that figure into this. And so I'm going to go to Pentecost, but I'm going to back up to the Transfiguration and start there. Let me read you here. This is John 8. We read it this morning in the Gospel. Listen to what it says. "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Is anyone thirsty? Let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him.'" Remember another time earlier where he talked about streams of living water flowing from within you if you drank what he would give you? Promise to the woman at the well. And it did. Stream flowed in her that brought a whole city out to hear Jesus. "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to this time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." Now, I want to go to the story of the Transfiguration, but these verses just before it in chapter 16 is where Peter just makes his wonderful confession. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then just a few verses later, down in verse 22, Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, because your mind isn't set on the things of God." I mean, it's back and forth, okay? But then it gets to here and it says this. This is Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come up after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his own soul? Or can a man give up anything in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the Father's glory with his angels, and then he'll reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." People wrestle with that one. Which one of those disciples is still alive yet? If coming in his kingdom is at the end of time. But coming in his kingdom, we say, "Thy kingdom come." We pray that every day. We pray the Lord's Prayer, right? So Luther said this, the kingdom of God is going to come all by itself. But we're praying in this petition, it might come among us. So Jesus was talking that some of them standing there, we're going to see God's rule come and be established. Now, in Matthew 17, just to start the next chapter, is the account of the Transfiguration. This is in Matthew. Let me read it to you. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became like white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, we'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While they were still speaking, the bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, that's the account in Matthew. But if you go to the book of Luke, this would be Luke 9. Where are we here? Yes. In verse 30 to 36. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor. It wasn't just Jesus. These two guys appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring fulfillment in Jerusalem. Let me repeat that again. They spoke to him about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. Now I want to ask a couple questions. Moses and Elijah, they were there. I've heard many sermons preached on Moses represents the law, Ten Commandments. Elijah represents the prophets. So this is the fulfillment. Jesus is the summation of the law and the prophets. Okay, he's asked one time, what does the Bible say? The most important thing. And he kind of sums up the law and the prophets. That's what they had different. Moses represented the law, and Elijah represented the prophets. What did they have in common? What was the same about Moses and Elijah? Centuries apart. Do what? How they left. Another word for leaving is depart. They were talking to him about his departure, not his death and resurrection. His death, his resurrection, and then his, 10 days ago, March, May 18th, his ascension. Now, what's that about? Let me just use my both hands here. Remember Moses? God said he put the Spirit upon him. And in the Old Testament lesson today, he said God took some of the Spirit that was upon him and put it on the elders, and they prophesied and things like that. And Joshua says, oh, Lord, stop him. And Moses says, I wish this was for everybody. By prophetic type, it was. That's God's design. So here's the Spirit of God upon Moses, right? And so Moses and his stick and the snakes and all those kind of things, all those miracles in the Old Testament. And at one point, Moses says, I want to go in the land. God says, no, you're not going in. Joshua is. But I want you to gather all Israel, because I'm going to take the Spirit that's upon you, and I'm going to put it upon Joshua, and then I'm going to take you. Got the picture? Here's the motion. Here's the Spirit, here's the life, and then they leave, and the Spirit is upon Joshua. Got it? Here's Elijah, powerful man of God, powerful man of God. He gets a sidekick, Elisha. It's his mentee. And he's coaching him, and they go around, and you get down to the first or second Samuel, and it says, Elijah says, I'm going to go over here to Gilgal. That was the place where they circumcised everybody after they'd been out here in the wilderness 40 years. And so it's a place of dedication. I'm going to go here. You stay here. Elisha says, nah. As the Lord lives, I'm sticking with you. So then he says, okay. Going to go over here to, where are you going next? Jericho. What was that? That was doing warfare. You stay here. Elisha says, nah, I'm sticking with you. He says, okay, I'm going to go to the Jordan. That was the place of crossing over into the promised land. I missed Bethel. That was first. That's the place where God gives you a vision. Then Jericho. Then he says, I'm going to go to the Jordan. You stay here. Nope. Sticking with you. As the Lord lives, I'm staying with you. Come to the Jordan River. Remember what happened? Takes his mantle, walks the Jordan River, and it opens up. And Elijah and Elisha walk across the other side. Okay? Now, they wouldn't have really surprised the school of the prophets over here watching this, because they'd seen Elijah do these miracles before. Get the other side. And Elijah says, okay, Elisha, what do you want me to do for you? He says, well, I want a double measure. Remember that word double. Double measure of the Spirit that's upon you. And Elijah says, well, you ask a hard thing. But if you see me going up, you have it. If you don't see me going up, then you don't have it. And it says, so the Elijah went up in the whirlwind, and there were the horses and chariots of fire, God's spiritual army that we don't normally see, but they're always here. He sees him going up, and he calls out, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen, which means He saw the spiritual realm that was a source of Elijah's power. Picks up Elijah's mantle, which had dropped on the ground, goes back to the Jordan River, and whop, and it parts, and Elisha walks across. And the school of prophets say, wow, the spirit of Elijah is upon Elisha. So here we have again, spirit of God upon Elijah. Elijah does these miracles. He goes up, and the spirit remains upon Elisha. Now that's what Elijah and Moses had in common. And what did we say again? They were talking to Jesus about his what? His departure. Everybody say it together. Departure. Now, one other thing. John 14, verse 12. I remember where I was. October, a Friday night, about third Friday night of October of 1971. I was sitting in a little chapel that was about from here over and back there to where Liz is. And the pastor, I was just watching this thing. I'd never been to a prayer for healing service. And I was real skeptical, but I was curious. So I sat on the side, halfway up and halfway back, watching things. And the pastor opened his Bible and read John 14, verse 12. And it says this, Jesus is speaking, "The things that I have done, you will do, and greater things than these you will do, because I go to the Father." And this he said about the Spirit, which he was going to give them, because the Spirit had not yet been given, because he's not yet been glorified. My mind was just spinning. What in the world did that mean? That Jesus would say the disciples would do what he did and greater things. And about that time, he continued, closes the Bible, continues, says, "Lord tells me there's somebody here who has trouble with his back." And most of you know my story. I was thrown off of a horse at 10 years old, and I powdered a vertebra. I didn't just break my back. I crushed a vertebra in there, so my back was a little bit crooked. So I had all kinds of back problems. And he said, "The Lord tells me there's somebody here who has trouble with his back." I didn't have time to think. It scared me, you know, saying scared spitless. It's true. I couldn't spit if I had to. It just undid me. And Liz, my calm, gracious, quiet wife, was sitting next to me, and she said, "He's talking about you," out loud. Everybody heard it, and they turned their heads back to see where this voice had come from. And everybody's looking at me. And then the pastor, Jeff Schiffmeyer, says, "Would you like for us to pray for you?" What do you say? "No, stay with me, air chick." So I went up and prayed, and 2 weeks later I realized something happened, whether it was that night or 2 weeks later, 2 or 3 weeks, I don't remember now. But anyway, my back has been fine ever since. As a matter of fact, the second Easter that we worshipped at Faith in Sugar Land years ago, I had finished the service with a whisper, and I went to the doctor and had an x-ray, and I'd gotten hit here and a little bit of hemorrhaging and caused me to lose my voice. He said, "Take these pills, don't preach to you, you'll be all right." And I said, "Do you think I see anything unusual about that x-ray?" He says, "No, it looks like a perfectly normal spine to me." I said, "Me too." So whether it was that night or later on, I don't know. But I'm sure I'll never forget when he, and how could Jesus say that? "The things that I have done, you will do." He raised people from the dead. Have you read the book of Acts lately? Peter did. They did. They healed people. Not in terms of greater miracles, but in terms of over the history of the church. Holy smoke. John says, there's so many things that Jesus did, if you wrote them all in a book, the world wouldn't hold them. Well, look at the lives of his church, literally around the world for the last 20 centuries. The volume of what God has done by the power of his Spirit through his people is greater than what Jesus did. That doesn't make us divine. It just makes us recipients of a promise. And I'm going to read a couple of verses here, because I think what made Moses and Elijah like Jesus was talking about his departure. So Jesus said, "Okay, I'm going to meet you in Galilee," and goes up there in the Mount of Transfiguration, and here they are standing. Remember how Transfiguration went? They're all standing, and pretty soon Jesus just starts levitating. He just sort of keeps on going up until he's caught up in the clouds. And his angel says, "Why are you standing there looking up into heaven? This same one that just left is going to come back again." But what had they seen? They had seen him go going up. And the promise associated with seeing Elijah go up to Elisha was what? A double measure of his spirit. Which means Jesus says, I want more of my spirit for my church than what was upon me. And so the promise of the double measure of the spirit was what Jesus told them they were going to get. So he demonstrated what prophetically Moses and Elijah had both gone through, had both shared with him about his departure. This is what's going to happen. Spirit's going to come. The spirit that's upon me, when I leave, I'm going to pour him out on you. And that is Pentecost. Now, I want to stop, pause here just a minute, and if there's a question rattling around your brain somewhere, I want you to pull it out and share it with us. Any questions right now? I'm waiting for a question. Amy, have any questions about that? I was thinking about that early this morning, Peggy, and I wonder sometimes why it is that we haven't grown up believing that the same Spirit with the same power and the same anointing and the same desire is alive today as what he was then. And one of those things has been experience. You know, we haven't experienced God raising people from the dead and supernatural healing people. Well, I did, but I tell you what, when I was a boy, I think my grandparents, two generations before me, I'm guessing if some of them had some rather unusual experiences, but in that German culture, they didn't tell anybody because everybody would have thought they were nuts. I can hear those words. People would have thought I was nuts. And I would guess there's some people in the room here who have had an unusual, besides Larry, an unusual experience with God that they know is Him. That they know is Him. But we tend to minimize that because that's not our common experience. And I think then we've changed our theology to fit our experience rather than expecting our experience to change to fit Scripture. And I'd prefer the book. I like what it says. The last great day of the feast. Is anyone thirsty? Well, I tell you what, a lot of people in our culture, 2023, are going to start getting pretty thirsty. We're going to hit a rough patch. It's unavoidable. We're going to have a hard time. And we're going to find out what we really believe about the availability of God to come and be present with us, not just for salvation, but for living it out day by day. And we'll find out several things. One, He's going to make us one. Jesus said a beautiful thing. He says, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He's going to take of mine, He's going to give it to you. Everything that I have belongs to the Father, and His ministry is going to be taking what is the Father's, that's mine, and He's going to be giving it to you. We're going to need that bread let down out of heaven. We're going to need that refreshing water that wells up in us to eternal life for several reasons. One, just to sustain us. But remember the woman at the well? She says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who's asking you for a drink, you'd ask Him and He'd give you living water. She says, I want some of that. He says, you know, if you drink of this well, you're going to get thirsty again. But if you drink of the water I give you, it'll become in you a fountain of life, welling up to eternal life. Welling up to eternal life? Yeah, the whole city ends up turning out to talk to Jesus simply because she said, come see a man. Could this be the Messiah? Then after they've been there 2 days and listened to them, they said, now we believe, not just because of what you said, we believe because we've heard ourselves. We believe this is the Savior of the world. This world we live in needs to be saved. People you live and work and eat with every day need to be saved. And the Holy Spirit wants to give us the words. Jesus said at one point, when you're called before council, don't worry about what you say. Because the Spirit, in the moment, will give you what to say or how to say it. Really? Yeah. He says the Holy Spirit will give you what to say and how to say it. But I saw a picture. It was a video of a little child who had had a cochlear implant. And it was about 6 years old. The first time in his life, he heard sounds, people around him talking to him. And his eyes lit up. He was just so pleased that he was connected to this world. Well, sometimes it's like that. If you haven't been listening to the Holy Spirit and you start listening to him, sometimes the way he speaks to you, I heard a phrase about 3 weeks ago, spontaneous intersecting thoughts. It's like you're here on a Sunday morning and you're singing a hymn and all of a sudden one verse just goes, shoom. It's almost like you'd never sang it. You sung it before, but you'd never seen it before. You're reading scripture and you say, really? That's in there? It's like John 14:12 for me that night. Really. God just gives us a thought. And we need to practice listening to that. The problem isn't the presence of the Holy Spirit. The problem is the awareness and dependence upon His Spirit. Let me say it again. It's not an issue of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's an issue of are we aware and are we paying attention to the Holy Spirit? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, sufficient for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete in every respect. The Holy Spirit authored that for that purpose. But if we don't read it, and when the Holy Spirit says, hey, that's for you, we say, oh, if we don't do that, then we don't grow into the people God has wanted us to be. And Pentecost is sometimes kind of out of balance, out of proportion. It should be about all of life. The Spirit is here. The Spirit is with us. The Spirit takes everything of Jesus and gives it to us. That's just incredible. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's job was to take everything that's His, the wisdom, the love, the joy, the peace, the healing, whatever it may be that was Jesus, the Holy Spirit's job is to deliver it to us. And so we have a right. In fact, we have an invitation to come to Him, His throne of mercy, to find grace to help in time of need, as it says in Hebrews. So I'd like to just briefly pause right here. If a question has come up, I'll do that first. Questions or a thought that come up during the message? Peggy? She's usually the most brave enough to ask a question.
We're all
German. That's true.
We're soaking it in.
Soaking it in. That's good. That's a good picture, too. Soak it in. Yeah, yeah. Well, let me just pray that God will help us to soak it in. Can I do that? Father, I remember a time when somebody questioned actually praying to the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I regret that was a way of life for me as well, that I found it strange to speak to you directly. Jesus, we understand speaking to you. Heavenly Father, we understand speaking to you. Jesus taught us to pray our Father who art in heaven. But Holy Spirit, I regret that we have not understood you to be as personal as Father and Son are. In Acts, when you set aside Paul and Barnabas, where it says, when they were gathered together in worship and prayer, you said, Holy Spirit, you said, set aside for me Saul and Barnabas for the work unto which I have called them. So you're the one who called and sent them into the mission field. And Lord Jesus, when you prayed, you said, pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest. Well, Holy Spirit, if you are the one sending out Paul and Silas, I presume that means you're the Lord of the harvest. And Lord, our church has not been the best at having a harvest over these recent decades. And prior to these recent decades, we were growing because we're having kids. And now we're on the decline. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you take this sleeping giant, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, the rich heritage of biblical doctrine that we have. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you throw gas on the fire, that you'd bring us to the place where we're attentive to you and your work and what you're doing, how you're taking from Jesus and giving all of it to us, giving us insight in Scripture, giving us understanding in situations we don't know what to do, but you, Holy Spirit, do. Thank you, Lord, that We don't know how to pray as we ought sometimes, but you can groan within us with groaning too deep for words. You know the heart of the Father. You know the power and the life of Jesus. And it's your ministry to bring it to us. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would help us to add our prayers to you in with the prayers to you, Father God, and for you, Lord Jesus. And bring us into a place of wisdom and grace and power and gifting and passion that will be there if we yield to you. We pray it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the whole Christian church on earth, that she be filled, renewed, enlightened, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, as on the first Pentecost, that many more will be called by the gospel, and that the sacraments would be administered faithfully, and all Christians be kept in a true faith. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For faithful pastors and church workers devoted to the service of God, who delivered His word through Moses and the prophets and fulfilled it in Christ, who died for our sins and was raised for our justification, let us pray to the Lord. That all the people of God would show forth in holy lives the fruits of the Spirit, which He promised in the Scriptures, that all pride, prejudice, and hate would be removed so that the gospel is not hindered, but all may be welcome in the name of Christ, and that we would have a servant's heart, seeking not our own ways, but the path that leads to eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for those who served our nation through military service and in grateful remembrance of those who gave their lives for us in the cause of freedom, that we may honor their sacrifice by using our liberty responsibly. For all who travel, that they would be kept safe, for our nation and its blessings, and for aid in protecting and increasing the benefits we have for those who follow us. Looking always to God, from whom these gifts come, let us pray to the Lord. And for the comfort of the Holy Spirit in a dark world, that wounds would be soothed and healed, broken families restored, depressed uplifted, the poor also aided, and all cries. Let's just lift up those people that we know that are in need of our prayers. For all these people, let us pray to the Lord. That the Spirit of truth would clear away all distractions so that our hearts and minds may focus on Christ, present in the bread which is His body and the cup of His blood, let us pray to the Lord. That God would receive our praise and thanksgiving for His gifts of grace in this sacrament, together with our tithes and offerings as tokens of our trust in Him, let us pray to the Lord. Almighty Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, sent your Holy Spirit into our hearts through your word to rule and to govern us according to your will. Comfort us in every temptation and misfortune, and defend us against every error, that we may continue steadfast in the faith, increase in love and good works, and trusting firmly in your grace for us by his death, obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above heavens and sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit to his chosen disciples. For all this the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Listening.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he is betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took, when he had given thanks, he took the cup and gave it to them. "Drink this of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." The Lord's peace always be with you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endureth forever.
Let's pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Thank you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.